Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
During the past few months, we have been meditating on Psalm 23. In this psalm, David compares his relationship to the Lord to the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. We have seen that as a shepherd, the Lord provides his sheep with many things. He provides them with rest. David writes, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Secondly, he provides them refreshment. He writes, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Thirdly, he provides them restoration. "He restoreth my soul." Today we hope to see something else the shepherd provides for his sheep, and that is leadership. David writes, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Well, what does this mean, and what application does this have for our spiritual lives? These are the questions we would like to examine in our sermon this morning. The theme of the sermon is "The Lord as Shepherd Leads His Sheep." We'll consider 3 points. First, where he leads them. Secondly, by what means he leads them. And thirdly, on what basis he leads them. David writes, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Now, this is the second time we read of the shepherd leading his sheep. The first time was in the second part of verse 2, where David writes, "He leadeth me beside still waters." There, however, a different verb is used than the one in our text. The verb in verse 2 contains the idea of rest. Here the shepherd leads his sheep to the still waters in order to cause them to rest. But the verb that is used here in our text does not contain this idea of rest. Here the verb that is used implies not rest, but rather movement or activity. Here the sheep, having rested at the quiet waters, are being led by the good shepherd. Now, the fact that it is the shepherd who is leading the sheep implies something about the sheep. It implies that sheep need to be led. And that is very true. And it is true for 2 reasons. First, because left to themselves, sheep will wander all over the place. They will eat a little bit here and a little bit there until eventually they wander away from the flock entirely. The only way that the sheep will stay together is if they are led by the shepherd. But there's another reason why the sheep need to be led, and it is because left to themselves, sheep are quite content to remain where they are. The problem is that for sheep to remain where they are is not always in their best interest. Philip Keller, whose book I have quoted several times in this series, notes that sheep are notorious creatures of habit. Without the leading of the shepherd, a sheep will graze the same hills until there is literally nothing left. And that is why they must be led, you see. Unless they are constantly moved around from one pasture to another, once productive pasture will be turned into a wasteland in a matter of months. The parallels here to spiritual life are striking, aren't they? Like sheep, humans are notorious creatures of habit. And our worst habit is sin. David says in Psalm 51 that we are conceived and born in sin. And that means in our natural human condition, we cannot keep from sinning. Sinning is as much a preoccupation for humans as eating is for sheep. The sad reality is we often sin to our own disadvantage. Like the sheep who will destroy their own pasture land by overgrazing, so humans will destroy their own souls by sinning. Philip Keller writes, "Just as sheep will blindly, habitually, stupidly follow one another along the same little trails until they become ruts that erode into gigantic gullies, so we humans cling to the same habits that we have seen ruin other lives." That is very true, isn't it? Let me give you a few examples. We all know that smoking causes cancer. And to convince us of this, the government forces cigarette companies to print warnings in large letters on every package of cigarettes. So you see messages like, smoking kills, or smoking causes cancer, or smoking can harm your baby. Some packages even feature graphic pictures of lungs blackened by cigarette smoke. And yet, people keep on smoking. Now, why is that? Well, it's because we are creatures of habit, you see. We do things without thinking of the consequences. We're just like sheep. Like sheep, we keep on munching away without realizing, or even caring in some cases, that if we keep doing that, there will soon be nothing left to munch. Another example, drinking and driving. How many ads and commercials have not been produced in the past 10 years, some of them quite disturbing, urging people not to drink and drive? And yet you still hear of people who are killed or involved in serious car accidents because the person driving the other vehicle was drunk behind the wheel. You see the problem? We are creatures of habit. Like sheep, we blindly, stupidly graze in the same fields without realizing that by doing so, we are contributing to our own destruction, and in some cases, to the destruction of others. That's why we need the shepherd. The shepherd knows that left to ourselves, we will graze in the same pasture until there is nothing left. And so he takes us by the hand, as it were, and he gently leads us to another pasture, a better pasture. And you see, he must do it. Left to ourselves, we will never leave the pastures of sin and of this world. Only the shepherd can do this. And that is why David says, the shepherd leads the sheep. But this raises the question, doesn't it? Where does the shepherd lead the sheep? What route does he follow? And what is the final destination? Well, David tells us, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Well, what are these paths of righteousness? Well, we could put it another way, we could say that these are the paths of holiness. The Bible also refers to them as straight paths. By this, of course, is not meant straight as in a straight line, but straight in relation to the law of God. The paths along which the shepherd leads his sheep, therefore, are paths of holiness, paths that are straight, paths that are in perfect conformity to the law of God. Now, why does the shepherd lead us on paths of holiness? Well, because these are the paths that lead to God. In fact, they are the only paths that lead to God. The writer to the Hebrews writes, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so the only way to see God, the only way to enjoy everlasting communion and fellowship with Him, is to follow the paths of holiness. Now, this is where we run into a problem. And the problem is this, that none of us by nature is holy. And that means that by nature we don't want to walk in those paths of holiness. And we cannot seem to make ourselves holy, nor can we make ourselves walk in those paths. Well, how then can we see God? Well, that is only possible through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, by obeying the law of God perfectly, Christ merited perfect righteousness, not only for himself, but for all those who believe on his name. And so when a sinner learns to trust in Christ for salvation, his righteousness, his perfect righteousness, is imputed, is transferred to the sinner himself. And the result is he stands before God as though he had not committed any sin whatsoever. Yes, on the basis of the finished work of Christ, the sinner is declared to be righteous before God. We call this justification by faith. It is by means of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that a sinner is justified, that he is declared righteous before a holy and a righteous God. But there is more yet. Once a sinner has been justified, he is also sanctified. That means that the Holy Spirit takes up his abode in his heart, causing him to flee from sin and to strive after righteousness, to crucify his old nature and to walk in a new and holy life. Thus he is made to walk in the paths of righteousness. Oh, to be sure, there will be many times when he will leave this path. But because he is a sheep of the Good Shepherd will restore him and set his feet firmly on the path of righteousness once again. And he will continue to do so until the day that he returns. Oh, what a blessed truth that is. Child of God, where would you be without the Shepherd? Where would you be if the Shepherd did not constantly lead you back into the path of righteousness? I will tell you where you would be. You would be walking in the paths of unrighteousness. Why is that? It is because by nature that is the path we delight to walk in. And that is why we must be led again and again and again by the Good Shepherd. Yes, he must lead us again and again in those paths of righteousness, those paths that lead to God. Oh, if he did not do this, we would become lost, and eventually we would perish. And so we see then that the Good Shepherd leads his sheep in the paths of righteousness. Now, the next question that confronts us here is, how does he do this? What means does he use? We look at that under our second point. The Lord uses many means to lead his people in these paths of righteousness. He does so, first of all, by means of the Word of God. The Word of God is our only source of guidance in the paths of righteousness. And this is spoken of again and again in the Scriptures. I think of Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 23. There Solomon, speaking of the Word of God, writes this, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Or I think of Psalm 43, verse 3, where the psalmist prays, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them," and he's referring, of course, to the light and the truth of the Lord, that is the Word of God, "let them lead me," he says, "let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." And then I think of Psalm 73, verse 24, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." What is that counsel? That is the Word of God. It is by means of the Word of God that God guides and leads his people. And thus it is by means of that very Word that the Lord leads his people in the paths of righteousness. Now this can be done both officially and unofficially. Officially, it is done by means of the preaching of the Word of God. When the Word of God is proclaimed, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking. It's very important that we keep that in mind. Preaching, and I'm speaking here of true preaching, biblical preaching, is not just one man's opinion on what the text says. No, it is the official, authoritative proclamation of the Word of God to the Church of God. And that means it cannot be ignored or dismissed. If what the minister says is in accordance with the Word of God, it must be received as the Word of God and acted on accordingly. And that applies to every aspect of the preaching. Not only to the warnings, but also to the promises, to the exhortations, the commands, the admonishments, and the rebukes. We must pay heed to every aspect of what is preached. Not because the minister is so special. He is nothing in and of himself. He is a sinner, just like the people who are listening to him. But we must do what the Word says because it is the Word. It is because the Word that he preaches is the Word of God. And because he, as a preacher, has been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to function as his mouthpiece in the midst of the congregation, and in that way to lead them in the paths of righteousness. This is also done by means of the rebuke or admonishment or even counsel of the office bearers, and I think here particularly of the elders of the church. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul addresses the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he exhorts them to take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Here we see that the elders are commissioned by the Holy Spirit to feed the church of God. You notice that is shepherd's terminology. It is the shepherd who feeds the sheep. And how do they do that? How are they to feed the sheep? Well, they are to do that by means of the Word of God. And that is why whenever the elders of the church come to visit you, they must come with the Word of God. They should not come to give their own opinions or with their own human wisdom. They should come with the Word of God and bring the Word of God to bear on every situation. But the Lord also uses his Word unofficially. For example, when you are studying the Bible on your own or with others and you come across a verse or a passage that really convicts you. Or when a brother or sister in the church admonishes, rebukes, or exhorts you on the basis of the Word of God about something in your life, that is nothing other than the Lord using his Word to restore you to the paths of righteousness. Secondly, the Lord leads his people in the paths of righteousness by means of the Spirit of God. John 16, verse 13, Jesus says to his disciples, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, let us be clear on this. Jesus was not saying that the Holy Spirit would actually speak to the disciples with an audible voice, telling them what they should and should not do in every situation. And that's a very common way of people speaking like that today. Many evangelicals talk as though they have a direct line to God. God told me this, or God told me that, they say. But that's not what I mean. When I say that the Lord leads his people by the Spirit, I mean he does so through the conscience, or through thoughtful, prayerful consideration of a matter, privately or in concert with others. Now, this is a very hard thing to explain, but I am sure every believer here knows what I am talking about. Someone says something to you that really hurts. You are upset. You can't sleep all night. But the more you think about it, and the more you pray about it, and the more you study the Word of God, the more convinced you are that the person was right. Oh, you didn't want to admit it at first, but deep down you know. That is God, by his Holy Spirit, leading you in paths of righteousness. Another example. You have an important decision to make. And again, you pray about it. You weigh all the pros and the cons, and then you make a decision. And then you experience this overwhelming sense of peace. You are absolutely convinced that you did the right thing, that you made the right decision. Again, that is God, by his Holy Spirit, leading you in paths of righteousness. Again, this is not an easy thing to explain, and we must be on guard against mysticism and subjectivism. But it is nevertheless very real. The Lord sometimes leads his people by means of his Holy Spirit, but always, and I stress that, in accordance with his Word. The third way the Lord leads his sheep in the paths of righteousness is through his providence, particularly by exposing them to various trials and hardships. There are many examples of this in Scripture. I think of Jacob. When Jacob left his father's house, he was brash and overconfident. The Lord had to humble him. And so one day the Lord appeared to him at Peniel and wrestled with him until the break of day. And when he asked Jacob to let him go, Jacob refused unless he blessed him. God agreed. But before he let him go, he touched his thigh in such a way that one of his muscles shrank, causing him to walk with a limp for the rest of his life. From that day forward, every time Jacob took a step, he was reminded that in and of himself he was nothing. He was but a weak and frail creature of the dust, and therefore his only hope was to entrust himself wholly and completely to the Lord. Another example, Moses. When Moses was in Egypt, he thought he could deliver the people of Israel single-handedly. And so one day when he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite, he struck him and killed him. When Pharaoh discovered what had happened, he sought to arrest Moses, but Moses escaped to the wilderness where he remained for some 40 years. During those long 40 years, the Lord prepared him for the task that awaited him, leading the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Except this time, it would not be by the power and might of Moses, but by the power and might of the Lord. One more example, and that is the example of Job. Job was one of the wealthiest men in the entire world. He had a wife, children, flocks and herds, everything a man could ever want. And then in a single day, God took it all away. And eventually he took away his health. Job was reduced to scraping his boils with a broken piece of clay. And you read that and you think, why? Why did this have to happen? Well, we don't know why. What we do know is that at the end of this trial, Job's faith was stronger than it had ever been before. And the Lord blessed him with twice as much as he had at the beginning. The point is, God often uses trials and hardships in order to purify his people, to make them more holy, to teach them to trust in the Lord. And you know, the Lord still works the same today. A near accident, a sickness, a disease, a serious financial setback, the death of a loved one, in all of these ways and more, the Lord leads his people in paths of righteousness, teaching them to trust in him, to forsake the world, to put sin to death, and to walk in a new and holy life. And so we see that the Lord uses various means to lead his people in the paths of righteousness. Now let us now, in the last place, consider on what basis he does so. Our text ends with these words, "for his name's sake." There's an acknowledgement of unworthiness here. Do you hear it? David here is confessing that salvation is not bestowed on the basis of anything in himself, but only on the basis of the goodness and the grace of God. He does so for his name's sake, meaning he takes reasons out of himself. He does it not because he has to, and certainly not because of anything in ourselves, but because he wants to. And that means that David and all of God's people have nothing to boast about. All the glory for his and their salvation must go to God and God alone. The Apostle Paul expresses this so beautifully in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. He writes, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, there is no room for boasting when it comes to salvation. Salvation is not bestowed on the basis of anything in us. It is not bestowed on the basis of our good works, on the basis of our spiritual experiences, on the basis of our decisions. No, it is bestowed on the basis of the free and sovereign grace of God. And therefore he, and he alone, must receive all the honor and the glory forever. But there is something else here. When David says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake," he is not only confessing something about himself, namely that he is unworthy, but he is also confessing something about the Lord. He is saying that the reason why the Lord leads him in the paths of righteousness is for his name's sake. That means for the sake of his own reputation. David here is saying something astounding. He is saying that the Lord has a reputation to uphold. And that's why he leads his people in the paths of righteousness. And is that not true? Does the Lord not have a reputation to uphold? After all, he is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he promises to provide for us in all of our needs. You remember in verse 1, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. I shall not lack anything." And this is what he does. He provides his sheep with everything that they need. In verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." In verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." And now, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Why does he do this? Why does he do all of these things for his sheep? He does it for his own name's sake, for the sake of his own reputation. After all, what would people say if the shepherd did not provide for his sheep? Oh, they would say that the Lord is not a good shepherd after all. He doesn't even care for his sheep. But David here says nothing doing. He is a good shepherd. And this is what he does. Oh, we have here a glorious affirmation of the trustworthiness of God. God will provide for his sheep because he has promised to do so. He has staked his own reputation on it. What a comfort this is for the child of God. Child of God, there is no need to worry about the future. God has promised that he will provide for you in all of your needs. He has staked his reputation on it. And that means that you can face the future with confidence, knowing that whatever may befall us, it all comes from the hand of a faithful God and Father who loves us and who gave himself for us. Oh, what a blessed truth this is, that God saves, leads, guides his people for his own name's sake. You see, if the Lord saved his people on the basis of something in themselves, then none of us could be saved. We would all be lost. Why? Because, you see, there is nothing in ourselves. In and of ourselves, there is only sin and shortcoming. If the Lord would deal with us according to what we deserve, then every one of us would have to perish in our sin. But thanks be to God, he does not do that. Instead, he takes reasons out of himself. He saves us not because of anything in ourselves, but because of his free and sovereign grace in Jesus Christ. Beloved, we have meditated this morning on the third verse of Psalm 23. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me ask you as I close, do you know something of this leading of the shepherd in your own life? Or are you still going your own way, doing your own thing? Are you living in sin and for the pleasures of this world? If so, then listen to me. You are on the wrong path. Jesus says there are two paths that one can follow in life. The one path, the path that leads to everlasting destruction, is broad and smooth, and many, Jesus says, are walking on it. But then there is another path. It is the path that leads to everlasting life. It is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. Oh, are you walking on the path that leads to destruction? If so, I urge you to turn back. Repent of your sin and turn unto the Lord, and he will lead you to the path that leads to everlasting life. But if by God's grace you may say that you are walking on that path already, do not stay where you are, but pray God that he may lead you even further along that path, so that one day you may reach your final destination and may graze contentedly in the green pastures which the Lord is preparing for all who love him. To him be all the honor and the glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth.